Amen. God is good. And all the time, God is good. For the last couple of weeks, we've been speaking about our theme, which is... There we go. Somebody's getting the message. His people, His purpose. Just to recap, in case you didn't catch up on it, His people is the building material that God is busy using to build something special. And we looked at the kind of materials that God uses and why He chooses that kind of material. And we encouraged ourselves with the promises from God's Word, which teaches that, in an essence, as I get in my eie woorde kan stel vanoggend, God uses messed up people like you and me to build. Isn't that encouraging? He uses messed up people like you and me to build. This morning, we're going to focus on God's purposes. What is God's purpose in this building process? If we are His people, and He's using broken people like us to build something special, what's the purpose of it all? How many times have you asked yourself or heard other people say, what's my purpose in life? Anybody ask yourself that question? I want to submit to you, what if we're asking ourselves the wrong question? What if we shouldn't be asking ourselves, what's my purpose? What if we should be asking ourselves, what's God's purpose for my life? There's a subtle difference, but a big difference. So many of us, when we experience life, when the wheels come off, when things don't go according to plan, when businesses or relationships fail, or terminal illness comes, or there's financial drama in ons lewens, dan vra ons daai vraag, wat is my doelwit hier op aarde? What is the purpose of all of this? I submit to you that sometimes that could be the wrong question to ask. The question we should be asking ourselves is, what is God's purpose for our lives here on earth? So, the clue to the answer to that question is the following. Could we say that we can look at Jesus' life, what God done with Jesus, to get a clue as to what our purpose is? Could we say that a clue could be found there? Because, let's face it, there are many things that we can get involved with in life. There are many things that can keep us busy. Some people have the ability to focus on one thing their whole life and dedicate themselves to it and pursue it. But other people are focused on lots of things. And sometimes it can become confusing as to what our purpose should be. So a clue to this is to focus on what was God's purpose for Jesus' life here on earth. Could we go so far as to say that God's purpose for Jesus was for Jesus to die? Could we say that? Could we say that the reason He came to earth in the first place was not to get people to follow Him and build buildings in honor of His name and come up with rules and regulations and call it religion? Je mag nie, je moet nie, je kan nie, je sal nie. Did He come to earth to give us riglyne oor, jy moet so aantrek as jy kerk toe gaan, jy moet so kan praat, jy moet so optree? Did He come to earth to do all of that? No, all of that mess was here, man. Religion was already here before Jesus came to earth. And we messed it up royally. So could we say that God's purpose for sending Jesus to the earth was for Jesus to die? That was His purpose. Can I get an agreement on that? Are we okay? All right. If we say then that we can get a clue to our purpose by looking at Jesus' purpose, can we go so far as to say that God's purpose for us is to die? Nou is al minder mense wat opgewonde is. Aren't you glad you came to church this morning? Come to hear a pastor tell you, come to church to die. It reminds me of a Portuguese friend that I had in military service many years ago. They're on the parade ground and die van julle wat die voorreg, ek sê voorreg gehad het, om verpligtende nationale dienstplig te gaan doen, jy tree op waar jy moet optree before they deploy you to your different places. And everybody's on the parade ground. There's hundreds, sometimes thousands of troepe. Die haar is nog nie gesny nie. Hulle is nog in jol klere. Hulle gaan nou army toe. Hulle word reggemaak om army toe te gaan. And the drill sergeant says, have you come here to die? And hundreds of thousands say, yes, Sergeant. Have you come here to die? Yes, Sergeant. Have you come here to die? And our Portuguese friend says, no, Sergeant. He says, have you not come here to die? When did you come? He says, Sergeant, I come here yesterday. So can we say that our purpose that God has given us is for us to die? Really? But I thought this whole Christianity thing was for my benefit, to give me a lacquer life. I thought this whole Christianity thing was to save me from dying. I thought this whole Christianity was all about the promises. Jy gaan gebless word as jy inkom. Jy gaan gebless word as jy uitgaan. Jy gaan gebless word as jy gaan lê. Jy gaan gebless word as jy staan. Daai gedeeltes van die skrif onthou ons maar goed, né? Nee. But what about the parts of the scripture that's in the same Bible that teaches that in order to experience life, we have to die? This is not popular preaching, but I'm not here to make friends. So could we say, his people, that's great, ons is oulik, and God chooses us, and he uses messed up people like us. But how many times do we think about the fact that God's purpose for us is to die? But I don't want to leave it there, because sommige van julle lyk nou bleek. It's like the colors draining from your face. Oh, I knew I should have stayed at home this morning. Why did I come to church? But the good news is that God's got a plan. I said the good news is that God's got a plan, and I'm excited about that. So this whole thing of our death, I want to read it in the context of the following scriptures, please. And we're going to go through them quickly. There's three. The context of our death must be in the context of these scriptures. Mark chapter 8 and verse 35. Jesus says, here we go. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. That's what Jesus said. If you want to hang on to this thing that you understand life to be, you're hanging on to it, you're doing everything to protect it, you're going to lose it. We can't keep it. It's like trying to catch the wind. We can't keep it. But he says, if you're willing to lose your life for my sake and the gospel's. The word gospel means good news. It's good news that God is willing to use a messed up jerk like me to preach the word. It's good news that God is willing to use beautiful people like you to preach the word. That's good news. It's good news that somebody else has paid the price for my mess ups. Ek weet nie van julle nie, mense, maar dit is vir my goeie nuus. That's good news. And he says, if you're willing to lose your life for that good news, dan, en dan eers, gaan jy regtig waar ervaar wat lewe beteken. Because apart from that, that's not life. You just exist. May I submit to you that people in other churches, not you, wonderful bunch, you're just an oxygen thief. Somebody said years ago to me, look how people carry on. We just use God's stuff as if it's our own. Dink net 'n bietjie daaroor. Hoe ons die natuur misbruik. Hoe ons medemense misbruik. Hoe ons talente en ons skills en ons vermoë, hoe ons daai goed misbruik sodat ons kan lekker kry. Mense, dit hoort nie so nie. I submit to you this morning that God's purpose for our lives is that we die. But for a higher purpose. So Mark 8:35 says that. 1 Peter 2 and verse 24. 1 Petrus 2 vers 24 sê die volgende. He personally carried our sins in his body on the cross so that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. By his wounds you are healed. Everybody say, I am healed. Nie gaan genees word. I am. It's past tense. That means there's divine healing on every level, spirit, soul, and body in the heavenlies, waiting to become a reality in the natural realm, depending on what we do with our faith. Get that? But that's for another sermon, another time. So there again, the concept of death. He carried our sins in His body on the cross when He died so that we can die to sin. Everybody say yes to die. Yes. He carried our sins in His body so that we can die to sin and live to righteousness. By His stripes we are healed. Last scripture on the topic of, or the concept of our death. How many of you know what John 3:16 says? Speak to me, church. Let's try that again. I want you to preach to me this morning. Ek het ook die woord nodig. What does John 3:16 say? Give yourselves a round of applause. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, so that whoever believes in Him doesn't have to die, but can live forever." Julle sa oulik, nê? How many of you know what 1 John 3:16 says? Niemand nie. Niemand nie. Why? Because it's got to do with death. Daai teksverse lees ons verby. Ons hou nie van hierdie gedeelte waar ek moet doodgaan. 1 John 3:16 says, "We know what real love is, because Jesus gave up His life for us." Hallelujah. "So we also ought to give up our lives for our brothers and our sisters." Now it's going to be easy for you to remember. In Jesus' name, you'll never again forget what 1 John 3:16 says. It says basically, we know what love means. Jesus died for us. That means I must die for others also. Are you still glad you came to church this morning? So we see scripturally that God's purpose for us is to die. And He's got a higher purpose for that. Notice the central theme of these scriptures. God's got a wonderful plan. To help us understand that plan this morning, we're going to look at the parable that Jesus taught about a farmer that sows seed. And it's a story about wheat and about seed and weeds. Wheat and weeds. Okay? Onkruid. And what's wheat in Afrikaans? Help me, please. Koring. Yeah. So there's a gelykenis, parable about onkruid and koring. And Jesus teaches the following in Matthew 13, verse 24 to 29. And here is another story that Jesus told. He says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a farmer who planted good seed." Everybody say, "good seed," in his field. "But that night, as the workers slept, his enemies came and planted weeds among the wheat and then slipped away." It's interesting that the workers were doing what? I wonder, how many workers in the kingdom of God are sleeping right now? Min wetende dat die vyand besig is om te steel wat die Here toegevoeg het in hulle lewens. Ek weet julle nie slaap nie. Julle slaap, julle is oulik. Maar dalk weet jy van ander mense wat slaap. The enemy came in while the workers were sleeping. En het nonsens aangejaag and they slipped away. Verse 26. "And when the crop began to grow and produce grain, the weeds also grew." The weeds was growing up with the wheat. "And the farm workers went to him and said, 'Sir, the field where you planted that good seed is full of weeds. Where did they come from?' And the farmer says, 'The enemy has done this,' the farmer exclaimed. So the workers said, 'Should we pull out the weeds?' They asked. 'No,' the farmer replied. 'You'll uproot the wheat if you do so.'" En die van julle wat tyd spandeer in 'n tuin sal sien, waar groei die onkruid? Net daar waar jy nie wil hê dit moet groei nie. And sometimes if you're not careful, if you pull the weeds up, there's your kosbare plant is also gone. Your cannabis tree or your roses or your tree. Moenie lag nie. Cannabis is mos deesdae cool, pal. It's always been a beneficial herb. Hello? God's always meant it for good. It's people that's messed it up. Don't get all religious on me, yeah, asseblief. Quats julle, drug squad, daar by die huis. He says, "Don't, because you're going to pull up the wheat also." And now Jesus goes to explain who's the farmer, who's the enemy, who's the wheat, and who's the seed. Are you ready to learn this morning, church? In that same chapter, Matthew 13, from verse 36, Jesus says, "And then leaving the crowds outside, Jesus went into the house, and his disciples said, please explain to us the story of the weeds in the field. You see, they didn't say, Jesus, explain to us the story of the wheat. What were they concentrating on? The weeds. We want to know about the weed. I mean, the onkruit. They wanted to know about the weeds. Isn't it interesting how people are? Hoeveel keer staar ons blind aan dit wat verkeerd is in ons lewe, in steede van dit wat goed is? Hallo? Hulle kon net sowel gevra het, Lord, teach us about the wheat. Nee, hulle vra, teach us about the weeds, Lord. Daar is soveel meer om voor dankbaar te wees, julle, as wat daar is om oor te moan en te groan. And they ask him, please, teach us about the weeds. So Jesus starts teaching about the weeds. Verse 37. The Son of Man is the farmer who plants the good seed. The field is the world, and the good seed represents the people of the kingdom. I ask you, my dear brother, my dear sister, are you a weed or are you good seed? Are you in the world or are you in God's kingdom? Or, miskien het jy een voet in die wêreld en die ander voet, jy toets maar die waters in die koninkryk van God. So God looking for a landman. Hy druk sy ore toe en dan sê, maybe you've got one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom. Because jy wil naby seker goed wees in die wêreld, maar dan jy soek ook die benefits van die koninkryk. Jy wil steeds ons lekker aangaan op jou eie weë, maar jy wil steeds hemel toe gaan een dag. Waar is jy? Ek dink ons Afrikaans sprekende mense sê jy's 'n draadsitter. Jy sit op die draad. You're a wire sitter. Nee, dit werk nie in Engels nie. Dit werk nie. You're not a wire sitter. How can I put it in English terms? You're compromising, sir, ma'am. You want to be a friend of the world and a friend of God. The scripture says you can't do that. You're either the friend of the world and an enemy of God. Ooh, ek wil nie daar wees nie. Because hy's bietjie groter en sterker as ek en wyser ook. Nie bietjie nie, maar as jy met my. Or you can be a friend of God and an enemy of the world. So Jesus teaches, he says, the good seed represents the people of the kingdom. The weeds are the people who belong to the evil one. Who's the evil one? No, it's not the leader of a political party. They might be used by the evil one, and probably they are, the world over. Not everyone. Hello? Says the weeds are the ones that are used by the evil one. That's the devil, in case you're not sure this morning. Verse 39, the enemy who planted the weeds among the wheat is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the harvesters are the angels. Just as the weeds are sorted out and burned in the fire, I'm reading verse 40, so it will be at the end of the world. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will move from his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. Exciting times ahead, ladies and gentlemen. I said there are exciting times ahead, ladies and gentlemen. And the angels will throw them into the fiery furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And then the righteous will shine like the sun in their Father's kingdom. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. Can we begin to see that God's purpose for our lives is Him using His kingdom people, which is good seed, to sow us into the world. If we regard our lives as seed in God's hands, then we must accept the fact that a seed has to die before it grows. Now here's this thing. Ek ken nie om hoe slim ons is nie, but we still don't fully, and I don't know how many degrees you got behind your name, I really don't care. We still don't understand how something goes into the ground, and because of the soil and the nutrients in the soil and the climatic conditions and the rain and the sun and the heat and all of that stuff works together to get a seed to grow. We know that it happens and we believe in it because we see the results. We don't believe in it because we understand it. We believe in it because we see the results. Is you met me? How many of you know the actual intricate specifics of how a seed starts to germinate? We've documented it, science has recorded it and tracked its progress, but there's still something mysterious about it which none of us know. It's the same way an egg in a woman's womb gets fertilized by a sperm. We've got it on film, and allah goed, but how it just starts to happen, it's a mystery. That's why Psalm 139 says that we are skillfully wrought in the secret place in our mother's wombs. There are secret things that are going to remain the Lord's secret forever until He decides to reveal it to us. Deuteronomy 29:29 says that. That which is given to us is ours, but there's certain things that are His secret, that's His secret. So there's a mystery of how a seed goes into the ground, dies, and then grows and produces something wonderful. We believe it because we see the results, not because we understand it. Are you with me? So why then are we still so insistent on understanding this whole thing of Jesus dying, being resurrected again before we believe Him? Can't we just see the results of His life, death, and resurrection and believe it because of that? Nee, ek soek evidence. Ek soek die proof. Wys vir my. Ek soek bewyse. Really? So here we see that the concept of a seed going into the ground. A seed going into the ground. And Jesus speaks this about His life. In John chapter 12, from verse 24, Jesus starts telling the people about His death. And He says this in John 12 and verse 24. I tell you the truth, because that's all that Jesus can do. He cannot lie. He can only tell the truth. There are things that God cannot do. People say God can do anything and everything. No, He can't lie and He can't deny Himself. And He can't turn His back on you. He just loves you too much. Sure. I'm grateful for that. And Jesus says, I tell you the truth. Unless a kernel of wheat is planted in the soil and dies, it remains alone. But its death will produce many new kernels, a plentiful harvest of new lives. Verse 25, those who love their life in this world will lose it, and those who care nothing for their life in this world will keep it for eternity. Anyone who wants to be my disciple must follow me, because my servants must be where I am, and the Father will honor anyone who serves me. And He says, and now I see the humanity of Jesus coming out again. In verse 27, He says, my soul is deeply troubled. Jesus had challenges. Jesus had issues that He had to overcome, just like us. And should I pray, Father, save me from this hour? He's posing the question to the disciples He's teaching, and He's saying, should I just pray and ask God to let's just have a change of plan here, God. Hierdie mense wil in elk geval nie hoor wat ek te sê het nie. Hulle like my nie. Hulle wil my doodmaak om elke draai. Hoekom moet ek vir hulle preek? Hoekom moet ek hulle vertel van die koninkryk? Because they just want to kill me anyway. Can't we just make another plan and get some angel to die in their place or sacrifice some oulike hoentjie of iets? Can't we just make another? And He says, should I pray and ask God to take me out of this? And He says, no. Why? Because Jesus understood His purpose. You see, He didn't come to earth to gather followers and to get people to worship Him and to make Him feel lekker. He didn't come to earth to get followers. That wasn't His primary purpose. Some of you are looking at me like, huh? Who did on? Ek dog ek moet Jesus volg. Ja. But His promise, His purpose was not to get fame and fortune and popularity and be in the in crowd. He understood, I'm here to die. He told it to His disciples over and over and over, maar hulle het nog nooit gekop nie. Dis 'n bietjie leeg daar. Weet julle, skiel been is vol breine, maar those disciples, He said it to them plainly, I'm going to die, I'm going to be betrayed into the hands of the enemy, I'm going to be killed, but I'm going to rise again. I'm going to rise again. So short, yeah. So He says, should I ask God to save me from this? He says, but this is the reason I came. Verse 28, Father, bring glory to Your name. And then a voice spoke from heaven saying, I have already brought glory to My name and I will do so again. So, if we accept that God's purpose for our lives is that we allow Him to sow us into the world as His precious seed for the purpose of dying so that we can produce a harvest of souls, then how does that actually happen? How does it happen? First of all, we need to decide, Lord, am I accepting Your purpose for my life? Maybe for some of us this morning, this heeltemal skuif in jou paradigma. It's a paradigm shift. Is, oh, so I'm actually in this Christianity thing to die. Yes, you come here to die. Oh, Mozzie, I thought it was about me getting all the benefits of the Bible that I can and living a lekker life with no issues. I thought it's about Mans, Cain and Rosa. Ek het daai storie geglo waar iemand vir my gesê het, gee net jou hart vir Jesus en al jou probleme gaan by die venster dan uit. Jy sien, dis die probleem, het stop net daar. Daar word 'n gedeelte van jou gegee, you give Him your heart. But what about the rest of your life? No, that's mine, Lord. I worked for this. Ek is my eie baas. Ek verdien my salaris. I got to where I am because I got here, Lord, on my steam. Nobody helped me, Lord. I had no family. I had no friends. I got, oh, really? Really? Maybe it's news to you this morning that God's purpose for you is to die and to live a new life that He has planned for you. So I wonder where you are that with that this morning. Are you weed or are you seed? Wheat or weed? Are you wheat or are you weed? And are you willing to give up your life as you understand it to be and receive the life that God has always meant it to be for yourself? And I don't want to put a heavy on anybody this morning. Ek kan vir niemand sê jy moet dit doen nie. You don't have to do it. You don't have to embrace God's purpose and plan for your life. People, so many times, hulle staar in 'n blind aan dit wat hulle dink is die sonde in 'n persoon se lewe. They say, well, ek wil nie julle join nie because I can't do this and I can't do that. I'll have to stop this and I'll have to stop that. No, you don't. You can carry on with all that gemors if you want to. You really can. The Bible says you can. Huh? Yeah. I didn't give it as part of the notes, but 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 12 says, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are for my benefit. In other words, in terms of God's grace and forgiveness, jy kan maak soos wat jy smaak, my broer. You can do what you want to do. You're free to do that. You're free to do that. Maar, daar gaan konsekwensies wees. There's going to be consequences of us doing our own thing. So please don't think that Christianity is about, I've got to stop this, I've got to stop that. You can voeter voort en doen jou eie ding till kingdom come. Maar wees verseker, daar gaan consequences wees. And there's also going to be consequences if you lay down your life and embrace Christ's life, God's purpose for your life. There's going to be good consequences. There's going to be good results. There's going to be a good harvest. There's going to be lasting fruit. There's going to be worthwhile benefits that's going to be of benefit to you and anybody that comes into contact with you, provided you're willing to die to self and let Christ's life be lived through you. Mense, ek praat nie van kerk lidmaatskap nie. I think that's one of the craziest things. Yeah, teken die forums. Let me think. We had a membership class last week and soon we'll be introducing the new members. I think we had 18 new members join the church. Daar's 'n gemeente, hulle sukkel met vleermuise in hulle kloktoring. And they've tried everything. They've tried the best pest control people. They've tried shooting. They've tried gas. They've tried gooiing goeters in die kloktoring om ontslae te raak van die vleermuise. But they can't get rid of the bats. En een ouderlinge kom aan die dom en hy sê, dom. Ek sê, ja, hy sê, dom. Hoekom? Stel jy die mense aan nie en dan stel hulle voor. Soos wat ons deur die lidmaatskap proses gaan. Jy word, aangeneem en voorgestel. Het ek dit reg? Help my mense uit die traditionele kerke. Jy word aangeneem en voorgestel. You get accepted and presented. You get, it's like catechism or induction or membership. En die dominee sê, Wat moet ek doen? Nee, neem die vleermuise aan en stel hulle voor. En die dominee kyk hom so en hy sê, en nou, wat denk jy gaan dit dan bereik? Hy sê nee, because in hierdie gemeente, mense word, jy sien hulle hier so vir 'n wyle. They active for a while, hulle is betrokke. Then they get aangeneem en voorgestel, dan sien hulle nie meer nie. So if we just aangeneem en stel voor die vleermuise, then they're going to go, they're going to disappear. Jy sien hulle nie meer nie. Ons gaan oulik nê. Moenie nou jou hande opsit nie, maar wie van julle is aangeneem en voorgestel in die gemeente en die gemeente weet lankal nie meer wie jy is nie. Jy is soos 'n vleermuis. Jy's gone. I've had the privilege of doing this, not shouting at people on a Sunday, but been involved in ministry for 30 plus years now. And I've seen people come and go. I've seen people look me in the eye and say, Mozzie, God has called me here. And where are they today? They weeds. I wonder, where are you this morning, church? Where are you this morning? So if we agree that our lives is like seed in the hands of God that He sows into the world, are we willing to die and let God produce a harvest through our lives? And the question, I'm a how-to kind of guy. This is wonderlik, Mozzie, dis 'n oulike voorbeeld wat jy gegee het. And I'm seed, I want to be seed, I want to die, I want to be wheat. Just how do I do it? How do I do it? How do we do this thing? What am I going to tell you? This morning in the church, there's an armed robber. And he's going to come and rob me now. Miskien is julle al in 'n plek in jou lewens waar jy weet hoe dit is om gerob te word. You're going to get robbed. So here I am. I'm busy hunting on with my lever. I'm doing my thing here. It's another beautiful day in South Africa. And maybe I'm busy cleaning my bike. I'm lubing the chain. I'm checking the scene out here. And I'm thinking about the lekker ride that we're going to go on. And what we're going to have for lunch. And where the Joel is. And where the breakfast run is. And where the rally is. And I'm just doing life. No? Is that okay with you? Oh! What? Yeah, I'm getting robbed. I surrender. I give up. Did you say your money or your life or your bald-headed wife? Take the wife. Take the wife. Take the wife. Your money or your life. What did I do? I surrendered. I surrendered. I gave up. Now the concept of surrender and giving up, it's not part of motivational speeches. It's not part of the 7-step plan to success or the 3-month program of winning, whatever book it is. Surrender and giving up is not part of that plan. But surrender and giving up is very much a part of the kingdom of God. Listen to what the Lord is saying this morning, church. Surrender and giving up is very much a part of God's plan for your life. So we spoke about being seed that gets planted, get used by God, sown into the world to build His kingdom, and it involves dying. Who doen ons dit? Who doen ons dit? I'm going to give you a practical example, and then I'm done preaching as the deep end gets ready to minister. And I mean the deep end, including our cool female drummer. Hoo-hoo-hoo! Okay, so how do we give up? How do we surrender? A practical example. Here's the old Mozzie. He's got a choice. His way, Jesus' way. Am I going to do my thing, or am I going to surrender and say, Lord, let your will be done? And then I'm faced with another situation in life, another decision. I'm going to say, Mozzie, do it your way. Or I'm going to say, no, Lord, I surrender. Let your will be done. Then I'm going to take another step. Your way, Mozzie, or are you getting the picture? How do we surrender? Daily making decisions where we submit our will to the Lordship of Jesus. The devil is powerful. God is all powerful. The devil is mighty. God is almighty. But there's one thing on earth that not God, not the Holy Spirit, not Jesus, not no demon in hell, not Satan himself, nothing, no force of nature can come against, and that's the will of an individual person. There's nothing more powerful than that. God won't go against your will. He won't. You're going to have to surrender, sir, ma'am. You're going to have to lay down your life. You're going to have to say, hands up, Yara. You're going to have to give up your life so that he can give you his life and start to live a life of abundance that Jesus promised for us. If you're facing me this morning, look to your right. One of our themes from years ago was called surrender. There's the banner up there. Offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life. So I wonder this morning, as we close, are you willing to surrender your heart and your life? Are you willing to say, Moz, I'm tired of being weed. I want to be wheat. I'm willing to lay down my life for the cause and the purpose of Christ in my life. If that's you this morning, I want us to do something practical. Please don't do it because I'm asking you to. And if you think it's childish, well then think it's childish. But as jy wil saamwerk, dan werk dan saam, né? I'm going to ask us all to stand together, please. This building next door, and if you're watching online, wherever you are, get up off your blessed assurance and do the following. If you want to, and please, nobody's going to get brownie points because you do this, okay? This is between you and the Lord. I'm serious now. This is between you and the Lord. If you want to surrender your whole life to Jesus, or surrender an area of your life that you know is not yet surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus, maybe you've got one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom, and you're a draad sitter, and you don't want to be sitting on the draad anymore. You want to choose this morning. You're going to choose to take a seat with the weeds, and that's cool. Bless you, my brother, my sister. Or you want to take a seat in the kingdom of God? Bless you, my brother, my sister. Maar die punt wat ek maak is, make a choice this morning. Because tomorrow is not a guarantee. Heck, this afternoon is not a guarantee. Die hele aardbol kan miskien getref word deur 'n massive meteoriet. I don't know. Miskien gaan staan ons harte, of ek weet nie, iets gebeur. Somebody pulls the plug and the power of the globe goes, the lights go out. Or maybe your life is snuffed out like this. Make a choice this morning. And if you want to make a choice this morning and say, Mozzie, there's an area of my life that I want to surrender to the Lordship of Jesus. Like me, I want to say, Lord, I surrender to you. I'm going to ask you, if you want to do that, surrender your hands as if Charles has come to rob you at gunpoint and say, your money or your life or your bald-headed wife, nee, fari vrou. As if God is coming to hold you hostage this morning. He wants to, and God's not got a gun putting it to your head and saying, turn or burn, choose or die. He's giving you a choice this morning. But the difference is, he's coming with, met liefdevolle hemelse vader arms, om jou 'n drukkie te gee, and say, I love you, my precious one. I died for you, and I'll do it all over again. And he's asking, would you surrender your life to him this morning? So I'm asking, as we do this, I'd like to pray for those who have raised their hands, and for everybody that doesn't as well, that's fine. And Lord, this morning we come to you in the name of Jesus. And in childlike faith, we simply lift up our hands and say, Lord, we surrender. We give it all to you, Lord Jesus. We give it all to you, Lord Jesus. We surrender our hearts and our minds. We surrender the mistakes of the past. Daar waar ons droog gemaak het, gister se sonde, vanoggend se sonde, ons gee dit als oor aan U vanoggend. Lord, we surrender the present, we surrender the unknown future all to you. We say, Lord, we're willing for you to use us like seed that you sow into the world to build your kingdom. And as we pray this morning, as our hands are surrendered to the Lord, may we remind ourselves of the prayer of Jesus in Matthew chapter 6, Verse 10 and verse 9, Jesus teaches us to pray, and he says, "Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy, may your kingdom come soon, and may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And this morning, Lord, I simply, in childlike faith, surrender my hands and lift up my life to you and say, "Lord, I want your will to be done in my life, in Jesus' name. Amen." And Father, I pray for all of us this morning, Lord, as we surrender our lives to you. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you work in and through us and that you empower us to be a blessing to other people. Jesus, like you came and died for our sins and rose again from the grave, may the resurrection power of the life of Jesus live through us in such a way that we make a difference for the kingdom of God. I pray, Holy Spirit, your anointing on every person that surrenders and submits their lives to you. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you be gracious and patient and loving and kind to those who are holding on to the things of this world and to the cares and the deceitfulness of other things. I pray that you be gracious to them, Lord, and I pray that you give them a chance to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ before Satan steals their lives, to the praise and glory of your name. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your love, mercy, and forgiveness. And we thank you for the chance we had this morning to celebrate Jesus one more time with your people as we discuss your purpose. And we thank you for that in Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Laat ons asseblief sing, behalwe alle nasies. We're going to sing that song and then pray God's final blessing over you one more time. May Almighty God bless you and keep you. May God make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God lift up his countenance over you and give you his peace, which surpasses all understanding. We love you dearly. Have an excellent, safe, happy, healthy, COVID-free week in Jesus' name. God bless you. Thank you for joining us this morning.
Cause I know where I'd be without your mercy. So I keep praising your name at the top of my lungs.
Look out!
Times I've called your name some broken night, and you showed up and patched me up like you do every time. I get amnesia, I forget that you keep coming around. Ain't no way you'll ever let me down. Good God Almighty, I hope you'll find me praising your name. Tell me, is it good?